Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 3, the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom given by the Holy Spirit to Solomon. Words of wisdom for us. We'll read this chapter from verse 1. Beginning at verse 1 through to verse 26. The text is the verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 1. This is God's inspired word. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Thus far we read from God's word. The text is the verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation, the word of God that we consider this morning is a well-familiar and well-beloved precious word for all circumstances and for all times. It has been chosen and used as the text for just about every occasion in life. It has been used on the occasion of high school graduation. It has been used on the occasion of weddings. It has been used on the occasion of baptisms, confessions of faith, even the ordination of ministers. This morning, we consider it under the circumstances that the Protestant Reformed churches in America find themselves in April 2024, not least of which is the urgent need for ministers made just a little more urgent and a little more critical by a sad event that had unfolded in recent weeks. Great is the need for pastors in the Protestant Reformed churches in America. We see it and we feel it too. We see it and feel that need for ourselves, though we are filled and not vacant, but also for family, extended family, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, and friends throughout the denomination. Many are the vacant congregations in our midst. Well, under such circumstances, our minds can't help but ask, what's going to happen next? What will the future hold for us as churches? And so this makes our consideration of this Word of God this morning most timely and needful. For there is no better counsel for us. There is no better way in which we are to order our thoughts and conduct our lives than to put our trust in Jehovah. We'll take the time first this morning to see that this counsel of God is a blessed counsel. And then secondly, note that to add clarity to it, God also prescribes the manner in which we are to trust in Him. That is, completely, wholeheartedly, in every way. In so doing, we see, third and finally, that He gives us to enjoy a most reassuring promise. One to take with us, especially when we are fearful and anxious of our future, which is this, that He Himself, who so loves us, will be there for us and with us to direct our paths. God's counsel concerning our future, we'll notice in the first place a blessed counsel, in the second place its prescribed manner, in the third and final place, it's a reassuring promise. The Word of God gives us a blessed counsel concerning our future, and it is very simple that our children also will be able to understand. Children, trust in Jehovah. How we need this counsel. For with regard to our future, we ask, who knows what that future will bring? Which one of us here knows what problems and challenges will arise? And therefore, what we are to do when, not if, when these problems and challenges come straight at us? And still more, concerning our future, thinking about our future is one thing. Actually, going into it is another. And that is never an easy thing. Going into our future is very much like a walking into the unknown. Much like when we are walking into a dark room, a room where there is absolutely no light whatsoever. We can't see what's actually around us. We can't see what is lying ahead of us. In that room that is pitch dark, we simply can't see. We just can't see. And right away, all kinds of doubts, all kinds of worries, all kinds of fears arise in our hearts. And when placed under such circumstances, our natural inclination is, as the text spells out, to lean unto our own understanding. which is just the opposite of what God's blessed counsel calls us to do, to put our trust in Jehovah. For we ask, what exactly does it mean to lean unto our own understanding? Simply this, it means to trust in ourselves. In particular, our knowledge and our understanding apart from God and not in God. That's the meaning, and that's the meaning because the phrase, lean not unto thine own understanding, is set forth in direct contrast, in parallel, and in direct contrast by the Holy Spirit in the text to trusting in Jehovah. And remind us how verse 5 reads, the first half, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the first half, and then the second half, following that, set in parallel, and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's trusting in ourselves, this leaning unto our own understanding is, and what our understanding, and what is our understanding but the taking of our limited earthly knowledge and comprehending it in our own limited, with our own limited earthly capacities, apart from true heartfelt faith. Examples of this abound in Scripture, both with unbelievers and Esau's in the church, but also with believers. Examples abound with believers. And for our purpose this morning, two examples, one from the Old and one from the New Testament, will do. From the Old Testament, think of Jacob, children. Remember, Jacob deceived his father? Jacob deceived his father to obtain the birthright blessing. In doing so, he was trying to help God out based on his own understanding. He couldn't see how God was going to keep his word, so he was going to help God out by stealing the birthright blessing. That's the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, you think of the Apostle Peter, who thought and who announced that he was better than all the other disciples, that he would be faithful to Jesus at the most crucial hour, even when they fail. And that pronouncement, of course, was based on his own strength. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, understand, beloved, that the Holy Spirit is being very vivid with describing this act of trusting in ourselves through the word lean. Focus on that word for a minute, lean. There's a figure being alluded to here by that word lean. Children, think here of a man who is leaning on a support, only now that the support is not a sturdy pillar or wall, nor is it a walking stick or a sturdy cane. He's leaning on just a piece of straw. Straw. And what's going to happen? What is the result of leaning upon a straw? A terrible fall. That's exactly what happens to us when we trust in ourselves and our understanding. We fall flat on our faces. Trusting in ourselves gets us into all kinds of trouble, all kinds of fear, all kinds of worry, sleepless nights, and guilt. Think once again now of Peter. What a terrible fall he had when he put confidence and trust in himself and his strength that he would be better and different from and then the other disciples. Our Lord proved him wrong, didn't he? Peter not only denied the Lord, his Lord, once, but three times, just as our Lord said he would. Well, let's understand, beloved, that at bottom, trusting in ourselves and leaning unto our own understanding is, in a word, unbelief. And unbelief is a sinful disease of our old man that will remain with us till the day we die. And so, as long as we shall live, we cry with a heartfelt cry as the one who did in Scripture, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." The counsel that God gives to us this morning is to trust in Him, and it is a blessed counsel. It is blessed because it is the cure for unbelief and all the troubles that come along with it. It is blessed because this is the only way to be truly happy. Proverbs 16 verse 20 tells us this: "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Handling a matter wisely is equated with trusting in Jehovah. And when we handle a matter wisely, trusting in Jehovah, we end up with happiness in our heart. Trust in Him, says the Holy Spirit. The focus here, of course, is not on the bond of faith, but on the activity of faith. It is as described in Lord's Day 7 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Those of you who have taken catechism from me, do you still remember the two parts of the activity of faith? A certain knowledge and an assured confidence. Spelling it out in detail, it is a knowing that this book, the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, is the inspired, infallible, authoritative Word of God. Every jot, every tittle, every instruction, every promise, every comfort, every rebuke, reproof, admonition, warning, all of it is God's inspired Word. It's knowing that the Bible is God's inspired Word, and also embracing with confidence that this book speaks about me, that this book applies to me. Everything, its instruction, its warning, its promises, everything applies to personal you and to personal me. It is a knowing and confiding in Him. That's trusting in Him. And to spell it out more clearly, lean on Him. Lean on Him alone. He alone is strong, infinitely strong and stable. Lean on Him alone. Receive His counsel, receive His wisdom, and reject the wisdom and counsel of your understanding, of your flesh, and of the world. And grow. Grow in this. Learn. And continually learn all throughout your life, even when you are older, from His Word and ways. Don't say, "I know it." God wants us to know it more deeply and to apply it more comprehensively. Be humble, learn, and be diligent to apply it in every sphere of life. and with regard to all of our future and all that it may bring. For this is not merely advice for us to take or to leave behind. What we have here also is our calling. It's God's counsel, but also our calling. And that comes out from the imperative language that is found in our text. Three words in the imperative, three key words. Trust. Lean not. Acknowledge. Trust in God. That's a command. Don't trust, don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge, confess Him to be your God all through your life. Trust, obey, for that is the way of true happiness, as spelled out in Proverbs 16, verse 20. So therefore, how true indeed, therefore, are the words of that familiar biblical hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This calling of us to live our lives trusting in Him is so important that it appears throughout the pages of Holy Writ, throughout from cover to cover. And especially is it found and emphasized in one chapter of the Bible. Children, are you listening? Those of you who have taken catechism with me, which chapter of the Bible is filled with this command to trust, with examples of trust? Which chapter in the Bible begins, has 40 verses, many of them beginning with the words by faith, through faith, by faith, by faith? Which one? Hebrews 11. If you haven't memorized it, you'll be memorizing it next year, next season of catechism. And that's where God has us behold and remember the exemplary, many exemplary acts of faith of the Old Testament heroes of faith. Trust. Trust in Him as Noah trusted in Him as he built the ark, persevering through 120 years to build the ark when there was not one drop of rain, when people all around him were mocking him, when all that he had was his family to build that ark. Trust. Trust in Him as Noah trusted the Lord. Trust in Him as Abraham trusted the Lord. Abraham, who was told to pack his bags, to leave his homeland of the Ur of Chaldees, not being told where exactly he would go, what was his final destination, he packed his bags and he left. And he waited on the Lord each day to show him where he must go till he finally arrived at his destination. Trust in Him as Noah, trust in Him as Abraham did, trust in Him as Rahab the harlot did, and also the many unsung and unnamed heroes of faith did. Trust in Him. And note the prescribed manner of the trust we are to give unto the Lord. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. The prescribed manner is therefore twofold. With all thine heart and in all thy ways. First things first, with all thine heart. What is the heart? The heart is the very center and core of our being. It's much like an army's command and control center, where military inputs are received and analyzed, and then commands are given out to the field, to the soldiers, on what they are to do. This is why Proverbs 4, verse 23 reads as it does, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That is, out of our heart flow forth thoughts to our mind, and direction is given to where our hands and feet go, what priorities we give in life, what choices we make in life. All of our life, the concerns of life, priorities of life, values of life, choices of life have their origin and direction from our hearts. So, when the devil wants to attack us, he'll attack us through our minds and direct it to our heart. This is why the ministry of God's word must, of course, first speak to our minds, but then it must be directed at and applied to our hearts. That being the case, beloved, I ask you as I ask myself, are you taking his word to heart? For let's understand that the prescribed manner is with all thine heart. Half-heartedness will not do. The Lord asks for a whole-hearted commitment. And because the heart is the command and control center of our entire being, trusting in God with all our hearts involves every aspect of our being. It affects every aspect of our being, not only our heart, but from there also our mind, our soul, our will. And still more, God's prescribed manner of our trusting in him is to be applied to all our ways. That's what the text says precisely. In all thy ways acknowledge him. All is all. The scope, therefore, is all-comprehensive. Every sphere and every department of life, of church membership, dating, marriage, family, job, what kind of job that you do, careers, school, friendships, finances, communication, our speech, nothing untouched, nothing held back from this command to trust in God. In a word, trust in him completely. Be completely committed to him and his word, his wisdom, his way of doing things, his precepts, and not our word, not our way of doing things, our wisdom, our precepts, our anything. Beloved, is that true of you this morning? Does that describe you? Are you applying this calling in every sphere and every department of life, and I mean every? You sure? Or are you holding your own in just one area of life? You've built a castle around it. You're not willing that Jehovah has a say in that area of your life. Is that with friendships? With your job? Dating? The Word of God says to you and says to me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Confess him. Trust in him. Put him first. Put him and not yourself, your desires, your ambitions, your will. Put him first in all thy ways. What is the reason for this? In a word, why? Why? Well, let's break down that why into two questions. Two whys. Why number one? Why is God so demanding, insisting that we are to trust him so completely and absolutely? Why? And why number two? Why can he be so trusted and relied upon? First things first, why is God so demanding? He demands complete, absolute trust from us. Why? Because he has the absolute right to do so. Because he is God and we are not. Because he is the creator God and we are but his creatures. He is the creator God who is made of no one and who has made all things, on the other hand, in heaven and on earth. He is the one who spake and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast. He is the one who has given life to us, to all his creation and creatures, so that in him we live and move and have our being. He is the great, he is the all-powerful, infinite, almighty creator God, and we are but his creatures. Small creatures, finite creatures, limited creatures, weak creatures, creatures who are dependent on him in every way. Therefore, he being the great sovereign creator God that he is, has the right to call and command us unto anything, including a total, absolute, complete trust in him. Beloved, let's remember and let's endeavor to remember always who he is and who we are. Who he is and who we are. That's why number one. The second why is this. Why can he be so trusted and relied upon? Answer. Because he is the Lord. That's the text, and that's the name used here in the text. Trust in the Lord, in capital letters. That's his covenant name. It's a name conveying, in particular, his covenant friendship, and therefore, more broadly, his intimate, profound love for us. So putting it together, why so trust in and rely on him? Because he is our sovereign friend, with a capital F. Beloved, you and I have no greater friend than this, our covenant God. And if you say, how do I know that? I'll point you to the proof of that friendship and love. And you know it too. It's the giving of the ultimate gift and sacrifice of his very own only begotten Son on the cross. For unworthy you and unworthy me, for the forgiveness of our sins and for life eternal. Yea, indeed, he is our heavenly Father for Christ's sake. So, beloved, trust in him. Trust in him so completely, so entirely rely upon him. Did you come to church with burdens in your heart? If you have burdens and cares in your heart this morning concerning your future, the future of your loved one, the future of your family, the future of your church, the future of this denomination of churches which you belong to and love, cast all your cares and burdens upon Him, for He careth for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not fret, do not worry, do not overthink yourself. Trust. Hush and trust. Commit your way to Him. Delight in Him. Rest in His precious word, especially His promises. In the great love and perfect wisdom of Jehovah, He supplies us with a most reassuring promise in the text. And that promise is found at the end of verse 6, that He shall direct thy paths. And that applies to our future in every way, every aspect and tenet of it. And so to the question, who knows what will befall me? Who knows what will befall my family, my church, my denomination of churches in the future? The answer we give is, I don't know. But this I know. I will not fear, be fearful. For God is with me. It is as Isaiah himself tells us under inspiration in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, that's the name Jehovah, I am the Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He's the God who saves us. He himself, Jehovah, our covenant God, will lead us and guide us with regard to our future. Remember that dark room? The room where we couldn't see anything at all around us or ahead of us? Jehovah tells us by his word that he's there in that dark room with us, holding our hand and leading us every step of the way in safety. We have no reason to fear and worry because he has redeemed us from sin, death, and the grave. We have no reason to fear and to worry because he calls us by our name. We are his beloved. That's who we are. We're Israel in the Old Testament. We are his beloved church. And we have no worry, no reason to worry or to fear because even in the midst of danger, he's with us. And not a hair can fall off from our heads except that he wills it and wills it for our good. Would we have it any other way? We have no reason to fear. For who is he? He is your covenant God, beloved, the almighty maker of heaven and earth, our faithful Father for Christ's sake, who loves you and loves me with a perfect, everlasting love. The proof of that love and guarantee of our safety and victory is none other than the precious blood of his Son. This absolutely sovereign, all-powerful God gave us his Son. And so what good will he withhold from us? What will prevent us from being kept safe? We are in his hands, and he will lead and guide us all through life. This, therefore, is a most comforting and reassuring promise. With him holding our hand, leading and directing all the paths of our lives, we have no fear. May this precious promise give us incentive to trust in him, to deepen and grow in our trust of him, and to acknowledge him in all of our ways. Amen. Father in heaven, bless this word and cause it more and more to live in our hearts, to be more deeply rooted and entrenched in us, and this word to flow forth in our spiritual veins, ministering to our mind and heart, especially when we find ourselves worrying and anxious and fearful. We pray too that this word also might be a blessing to others who might hear it in our denomination and cause thy people to put our trust in thee, especially during these times of testing, of trial, and uncertainty. Hear us in thy love and mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen.